living out the good life, yeah. I ain't gotta worry about a thing.
Oh no.
Had some obstacles I overcame.
Oh yeah.
You don't have to ever be the same.
Oh Lord.
Cause when we change the mind, we change the game.
What's going on? What's going on? What's going on, family? Listen, we are back. We are back. We are back. We're here. Welcome to the Kenneth Allen Thomas Show with my boys, my co-host, Mr. Nick Mingle and Mr. Guy Still. What's going on, fellas?
Yeah. Well, you already know. Another Thursday. Let's go.
Let's get it, man. Let's get it. Let's get it. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Listen, man, fellas. It has been a crazy, crazy new year. Nick, we haven't seen you since the new year. You know what I'm saying? So what's been going on with you, bro?
Man, listen, that COVID then hit a brother, then hit the whole household, then took us down and out, had me out here coughing my lungs up and everything. Man, listen, it ain't no joke. I don't wish this on nobody. Wear your mask out there. Okay. Practice social distancing. Wash your hands. Do all of that because it ain't worth getting this madness. You know what I'm saying? I thank God we ain't have to go to the hospital, nothing like that. We was home, but it still wasn't that nice. So,
yeah, bro.
Blessed to be back. Blessed to have you back, brother. Blessed to have you.
Listen, I thank God I'm here for real, for real. Appreciate that. What's good with y'all? I missed my peoples. What's up?
Missed you too, bro. Listen, man, my daughter had COVID as well. You know what I'm saying? So that was crazy in itself. You know, we're going to get into it and everything, but it was not the most pleasant new year necessarily, at the same time, you know, glad that she is alive, well, and you know, she's getting her strength back and my wife is getting her strength back too. Only crazy part was, yo, is that I was with the boys for, you know, for 5 days by myself.
That'd be crazy.
That's okay. You know what I'm saying? That's okay. So, it's fellas night.
Hey, every night we was playing PlayStation and all of that.
Listen, that's how you do it. Boys getting popping in that house. It's the club in that house. They get it in.
Yeah, bro. Yeah, man.
Let me just ask this question. Did the fellas take a shower every night? That's just what I want.
Oh yeah, most definitely. We do that. Oh, we do that.
Yeah.
We went not just night. We went night and morning. Like we make
sure. That's how you do it. Yeah, gotta keep them fresh because then they be grown men that don't know how to smell right. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, so.
They sharp. You see his show. Listen, you see Kenny shape up? That thing tight.
Listen, you already
they
know.
They sharp in that house. They sharp. They keep it sharp.
This is what we do. Every week we in barbershop. Every week. You know what I mean? Because listen, y'all, let me tell you, in case you haven't noticed, a brother be on TV now. You know, a brother be on TV.
Yeah,
so I gotta make sure when they hit me with the call, hey, can you hop on tomorrow morning 7:20? I got you. I'm glad I got my hair cut the day before.
You can't be looking scruffy and high def.
Nah, bro. You know what I'm saying? I just can't gel this up. You know what I'm saying? I gotta make sure this joint is tight. You know what I mean? I can't be like God now. You know what I mean? God got that good hair.
Nah, I'm trying to be like you when I grow up, bro. That look good. That's sharp. That's sharp.
Yeah, bro. Listen, guys, we got an awesome show tonight. Everybody that's watching right now, listen, do me a favor. Go ahead and hit the link. Matter of fact, if you're watching this on YouTube, go ahead and sign out of the chat and go ahead and hit the like button right there because it's going to drive the algorithm up for us, okay? So what we're trying to do is drive the algorithm up. Make sure you guys share this with your mommy, your daddy, your uncle, your auntie, your grandma, your grandpa, abuela, abuelo. Share it with everybody right now that needs to hear this message because although we cracking jokes and everything right now, it's about to get real serious and we about to lay some knowledge and everything on you guys and help you guys throughout 2022. And tonight's topic, we're talking about parenting in 2022. We're also going to be talking about the mental health crisis that we face right now with the pandemic that is still, you know, on the rise and, you know, and what we're seeing in the numbers and things in that nature, being that all of us have probably experienced this in one way or another. We're going to be talking about that tonight, but we're going to start off with the parenting. But before we do, guys, make sure you guys go ahead and follow us. Follow us online at Kenny Clutch _. Follow my man Nick. Follow my man Guy. Follow them on Facebook and Instagram. All right. Make sure you guys do that. And if you want to go ahead and donate to the show and be a, you know, and be a blessing and everything, you guys can also make sure you can support us at Kenny Clutch Speaks through the Cash App. Okay. You guys can go ahead and put it in a donation. If you find this valuable to your life and what we're going to be explaining to you guys tonight, go ahead and drop a dub or whatever it is that God lays on your heart tonight. With that being said, fellas, yo, we got a crazy couple topics tonight, y'all.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna go right into it. We're talking about parenting in 2022, and something was very, very disturbing to me a couple of days ago. I'm glad that it was taken down because I couldn't find the video, and I wasn't gonna show the video and everything tonight, but I'm gonna just explain it to our audience, and they can then like use their imagination and everything as well too. But and if you guys are watching this on YouTube, Spotify, wherever you're watching that, again, make sure you guys go ahead and subscribe to the Kenneth Allen Thomas Show. So there was a video of a father who I guess was disciplining his daughter and making an example in front of the family members, I guess. I don't know the full context of what the little girl did. She looked like she was maybe like 5 or 6 years old. I'm not sure. But the thing was that he actually held her up by her arm and he had a belt in his hand and he was whipping the floor. He wasn't whipping the girl. He was whipping the floor, which frightened her, like she was like hysterically crying and there were people laughing in the video and stuff like that. And it's like, where do we draw the line of, you know, disciplining our children, number one? And number two, where do we draw the line on what is appropriate to post and what's appropriate not to post? Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, we've all probably got our share of whoopings and everything back in the day. You know what I'm saying? But it, for me, it wasn't in a form of abuse or nothing like that. It wasn't in the form of like, yo, I got a freaking, you know, knots on my forehead and stuff like that. Like it wasn't that crazy. But where do we draw the line, guys? Like, this is a father. First of all, the kid is now in the matrix of the internet, you know, forever. Known, probably gonna be known as the little girl that was crying that got whooped but didn't get whooped in a sense or whatever, you know. So What's your first reaction? Nick, I'm gonna go to you first. What's your first reaction when you hear something like this?
Man, listen. First off, I think the problem that I think a lot of people have just within themselves is somebody in that circle, whether it's dad or somebody else in the family, was pitching for likes. And I think that's a major issue that we have in today's society where people spend too much time trying to live out their lives on social media rather than just living their lives, you know? So the issue that you have is it's like every single element of their life that comes out, somebody has to post it on social media. You know, mm-hmm. We go into the barbershop, we go into the supermarket, you know what I'm saying? We're going to get a haircut. You know, it's just let some things just be, you know what I'm saying? Like you want to post the highlights, major moments, something great that happened in your life, maybe even something tragic to kind of give support or whatever case is cool, but it doesn't need to be every element of your life. And if somebody is posting that, what are they trying to prove exactly? Because right. who's it funny to? If right. the dad yeah. was seriously trying to discipline his daughter, it's not funny to him, right? Right? It's not funny to the daughter who's being disciplined. And if anybody else is there, what are they trying to do to diffuse the situation rather than exacerbate it, right? Because now this is me. In my household, we don't lay hands on kids mm-hmm. at all. I don't care who you are, where you come from. If you step in my house, your mm-hmm. hands are not being laid on any children. Because what I've learned is there are many more effective ways. They may be difficult. They may take more time. They may require you as an adult, as a parent, as a primary caregiver to think a little bit more. Because putting your hands on your child, using a belt, using a weapon, using an object. One, it teaches your children violence. Mm. You may think it's discipline, but it's teaching your children violence, because what they receive, they're going to give out to somebody else. You know how I know people don't like it? Because parents are good with beating their kids. But you know what they don't like? They don't like when an older sibling is beating a younger sibling, right? Now they want to ask the question, well, where'd you get that from? Well, they learned it from mom and dad, right? So guess what? Learn how to talk to your kids. You can't wait till you take your kids out and they flipping out on the floor. No, when y'all are in the house, teach your kids how falling out is not okay, right? Mm-hmm. Because the only reason why you beating your kid outside is because you're embarrassed, because you feel like the kid is embarrassing you or doing something to you. And that's really all then is what happens, is you're taking your frustrations out on the kid because the kid's not listening to you. The kid touched something. The kid did something they ain't had no business doing, and you're just mad, as opposed to, yo, let's dial it back. Is there a better way that I can communicate with my kid? I don't have to lay not one finger on any of my children. And guess what? They know when dad means business.
Yeah.
We have that communication. We have that relationship where they understand dad's not playing, you know? And guess what? Sometimes they're going to test me and they're going to push it to the limit. And as an adult, as the parent, I got to eat that and figure out how to get through to my kid. But smacking them up and all of that kind of stuff, what does that prove? That doesn't make me a stronger man because I'm doing it. Because what am I doing? I'm beating on somebody who's younger, more vulnerable, weaker than I am, to do what? Does that really resonate to them at the end of the day? No, it just scares them. And then what? So I am 1,000% against any of that. If you can't get to your kids, you have to figure out a better way than laying hands on them. That's just my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that, God, I'm going to go to you in a second. I think that with this situation that we face, there's so many layers to pull back, right?
Amen.
And although he didn't necessarily put his hands on her with the belt, he psychologically abused her. Right. You know what I'm saying? Because that's like, you know, you're going into the trauma of that. Like, imagine the PTSD that she may face, that, you know, years down the line. And the second that a belt is even presented, although the belt didn't touch her, psychologically it's like, dang, like, I'm thinking, you know what I'm saying, like, this is about to be bad and everything for me. So I think that, you know, they're like, to your point, there are other ways. I think we should explore those other ways, you know what I'm saying, on what can we do, how can we be stern with our children but not necessarily abuse them to a point where it's like, you know what I mean? But kids do, like, I get it. Like, kids test or whatever. That's what they do. I mean, we've all done it. You know what I'm saying? But now, growing up in a day and age where, I guess, where, you know, mental health is a crazy issue, because we didn't hear mental health back when we was growing up or nothing like that. But now that it is, I think it's time that we take more consideration into it. Guy, I'm going to go ahead and pass it to you, bro, because I know you want to get in on this.
Yeah, I know. I think that you guys are very thorough in your explanation as to the position you take, right? And I'm a talker. Like, I like to put myself in my children's shoes, right? And so they would appreciate me more to sit them down and talk to them and ask them why, right? Because I'm also a youth advocate, you know, teacher, dean, all that. You know, it works better for me to figure out the who, what, where, when, why, and how you can do better. Right.
Correct.
But I think what sticks out to me is more so the label that puts on minority men. A video like that puts on minority fathers.
Come on. Exactly. Right. Right.
And there's already a negative label and connotation put on Black and Hispanic men about the way we treat whether it's women, whether it's children, so forth and so on. But I think a video like that just feeds that negative concept of us being aggressive and uncontrolled, that narrative of being uncontrolled and not having that discipline, right? And so we have to have discipline enough not only to sit down and talk to our kids, but to decipher which videos are proper, which video feeds the machine, if you may, right? feeds the social media machine just to say, yeah, see, I told you so. I told you this is what it was the whole time. And so, hey, man, even though that's a it's a case by case basis, right? I think that there are definitely plenty of ways to sit down, talk and analyze the situation before it's taken to that level. And then, like you said, the trauma that it brings, not only to that child, but anybody watching it, right? So you got people that are watching this video that are like, well, why are people laughing in the background? Or why is this so funny to them? Or, you know, it's just a confusion. It's unnecessary confusion that it brings. And so it's very important just to kind of just think about what we're doing before we do it and give it a second look and give it a second thought.
I think like that's where it kind of took me back. Like, first of all, whatever happened to, yo, meet me in my room. You know what I'm saying? Go upstairs, meet me in my room. You know what I'm saying? Like, that alone should get you to know, like, okay, maybe I should stop playing around. And as soon as my mom get up here, you know what I'm saying? Like, so I feel like to Nick's point, there are other ways, right? So for me and my boys, right, I got to a point where I'm like, okay, you know, why don't I try this? The next time that they get out of line, okay, since we want to get out of line, let's go ahead and hit these push-ups real quick. You know what I'm saying? Let's hit these push-ups. Let's see if y'all like these push-ups. A, I'm strengthening them. You know what I'm saying? And no, they're not going to do like 200 push-ups and all that, nothing crazy. But y'all go ahead and drop and give me 20 real quick. You know what I'm saying? Or you know, we'll do, you know, some sit-ups or something like that. One, I'm strengthening you. You know what I'm saying? B, I know you don't like exercise. You know what I'm saying? So in order for you to get out of that, you gotta understand where we're going. Now, what I've also learned and what has seemingly it seems to be working more now as well too is that my boys love playing PlayStation. Okay, so they love playing PlayStation so much that if me and Josie don't say nothing, they will stay on PlayStation all day, like all day. So it was to a point where I was trying to get them to be responsible on the game because I don't want them to be addicted to the game. But being responsible, that came with your attitude, that came with your homeschooling grades, that came with your chores and everything, things like that in the house, right? But when you cop an attitude, okay, cool, no problem. Let me just take this PlayStation away. My boys just got their PlayStation back, you know, after 6 or 7 weeks without it. You know what I'm saying? Because I wasn't playing. I wasn't holding it down. Like, I wasn't trying to give them that type of leeway because I know that if I take it away for 2 days, it's not going to hurt them. Mm-hmm. But if I take it away for a longer period of time, they're going to get the point like, dang, I really want to play the game. Like, even over the Christmas break, I did not care. We played PlayStation only because, you know, my wife and daughter, they was in the hospital. So I need to do something and everything with them. So that was a reason why I let them play a little bit. But now, today was their first day back playing. We said, okay, cool. This is what we're going to do. I'm going to give y'all 3 hours. Y'all play 1 hour together, and then y'all both get 1 hour each. But the rule is that you got to be done by 3:30 today. That's it. After 3:30, nothing else. Don't ask me again. You got we only play the game on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and that's it. Like, no other day can you play this game. You got to get all your game time in on this. So basically what I'm saying is to wrap it up and then I'll toss it back to Nick. Like, I think like what would help parents, since we want to give solutions out and everything, right? We don't want to just say what you're doing wrong. We want to give a solution out. What would help parents is, what is that thing that you can identify with your child that they love the most, that they feel like they can't live without, right? Take that thing away and watch how they act. Like, immediately, watch how they act. Watch how they act in the store. Watch how they act in the house. Watch how they act. Watch how the things shift in inside the household. Like, dang, like, I can't go outside. I can't do this. I can't do that. You know what I'm saying? You take your power back with that. Go ahead, Nick. Right.
And what I was going to say was, you know, I'm going to get a little philosophical here, right? So when you talk about discipline, right, you know, if you look at the beginning of that, right, that comes from the word disciple, or at least the word disciple is in there, right? So what is a disciple? Somebody who you teach, right? Somebody who you mentor, somebody who you train. That should be the objective of parents. Right. Teach your children, train up your child in the way right. in which they should go. And then when they're not around you, guess what? What you've taught them, it will come right. out in their behavior. So right. if you want your 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, all the way to 18-year-old, 25-year-old, 40-year-old to behave a certain way, train them on how to behave. Right. Don't just let them behave any kind of way. I start with kids when they're born. I tell, again, everyone that's around me, I tell them, we're not doing crazy baby talk. If the baby was just born yesterday, guess what? We're having a conversation with the kid because I'm trying to teach you how to understand how people speak. I'm trying to teach you how you can hear when somebody's upset, when they're not angry, when they're laughing, when they're joking, all of that. I tried to teach my kids when they were little. I taught my daughter how to laugh, and I saw how she responded. I smiled at her face. I made crazy angry faces in her face and things like that so that she could figure out what does it mean when you see dad in a certain way. Then she could also then communicate that as well, right? So never look at a child and say, the child is too young to learn. No, it's your responsibility to disciple them, train them, teach them. Because guess what? You're always teaching them whether you know it or not. And so if you want to break out anger, frustration, abuse, if that's what you want to train them to do, don't get mad when your kid is 8 and they're fighting in school. Don't get mad when your kid is fighting in school at 13 and now they got to call you and you got to come from your job and you like, why do I have to leave my job to come? Well, because you're teaching your kid how to be abusive. Right. So then all your kid knows is, guess what? If you do something I don't like, I'm going to punch you in the mouth. As opposed to, if you do something I don't like, let me talk to you. Let me tell you why I don't like what it is that you're doing. There's levels to this. But when you abuse your kid, think about it. What 5-year-old can do anything that requires you to then turn around and say, I, as a grown man or woman, am going to put my hands on them? What could they possibly do?
Right.
Because guess what? Whatever they did, if another grown man or woman did it, you gonna slap them in the face? No, because you don't want that work. But because your child ain't gonna fight you back, you do it. Until, guess what? Your young son, your daughter grows up to an age where they're not scared of you, where they're willing to put their hands on you. Now you got a different situation. Why? Because when they were younger, you didn't teach them how to talk. You didn't teach them how to do conflict resolution. You didn't teach them how to discuss issues and work them out. You taught them fight or flight.
Right.
So that's all they learned. You know?
Right.
So as a parent, always think about that. Don't miss an opportunity. Like you said, if we in a store and my daughter grabs something and I'm like, yo, didn't I tell you not to touch that? And it drops on the floor and it breaks. That's a teaching moment. Because guess what? We got to pay for that. So now that we got to pay for that, guess what? I'm going to pay out of my pocket.
Right.
But you're also going to pay in some aspect of sweat equity, because you're going to learn when dad said don't touch it, he meant don't touch it.
Right? Yep.
But me beating you in the store is not going to help anybody.
Equity. I like that.
You know what I'm saying? It ain't paying the bill. It ain't fixing the issue. And it's not teaching my daughter, next time we go to the store, don't touch. Mm-hmm. What she's going to process is, am I scared enough to not do it?
Right.
As opposed to, do I really want to go home and have to clean this and clean that and fix this and fix that? You know what? Nah, let me just not touch it like dad said not to touch. Right?
Right.
Then at that point, I can say, is there something that you want? Yes. Okay. Well, now let's talk about what it is that you want. Because if we talk about what you want, maybe I can get you what you want. And that's what you will touch. That's what you will hold and not go into a store and break things. Come right. On. The other side of it is, parents, don't put your kids in situations to set them up for failure.
Yeah.
Certain things you just don't do.
Yeah.
Don't leave your kid by themselves and then say, why did you spill your juice? Why weren't you with your kid? You know what I'm saying? So let's talk about those things. Don't put your kids in situations that set them up. What you were talking about, Kenny, you've given your kids parameters. 3 hours to play a game. These are the only days that you can play it. I'm not going to leave the PlayStation in your room and then say, well, listen, don't touch the PlayStation. I already know that you don't have that kind of self-control.
Exactly.
Right?
Because if everybody held self-control, everybody would be healthy and we would all be fit. But we eat things we ain't supposed to eat. We go places we ain't supposed to go. So don't look at your child and say, why are you playing PlayStation? Take it away as an adult. Be responsible. Do your part. Teach them. Disciple them. Teach them so that they have that discipline of, dad said 3 hours. I did my 3 hours. It's time to put it away. I have that discipline. So that now you know that you can trust your kid when they go out and you don't have to worry about them getting stopped by the cops or different things like that for their behavior. They may get stopped for other things. That's a whole nother conversation, but at least it won't be because of their behavior. You know that when they call you at school and they say your son or your daughter did X, Y, Z, you can believe either they did or they didn't because you know what you're teaching your kid, as opposed to you get to the school and you're like, well, did you do it? No. Well, they said that you did. Now it's a he say, she say thing. You don't know who to believe. Well, you ain't been teaching your kid anything to the point where you don't know what's going on. So as a parent, find those different ways. Talking, communication, it starts there. If you don't communicate, there's going to be problems. So start with communication. Work on communication and then build from there. I'm off my soapbox.
There you go. There you go.
That was good, man. That was good because when you talk, so when you talk disciple, when you talk discipline, you know, I really think that not only do you have to, y'all spoke a lot about getting to know the children and, you know, what are their triggers and what are things that are going to make them, you know, do something, right? But what happens to getting to know ourselves, right? How we need to get our, get to know our triggers and ourselves as parents in order to handle things a lot better, right? Because you have to formulate a plan. And if you, like you did, Kenny, right? If you formulate a plan, you need to formulate a plan based on not only how they are and what they do and how they do, but what bothers us and what is going to drive us to, you know, be bothered by something they may be, you know, they may be doing. And I think that it's, there needs to be a, first and foremost, a consistency in discipline and discipleship, right? You can't be disciplined and discipleship one day and the next day it's just free for all, right?
Right.
That's the problem that a lot of, I found that a lot of parents have. And of course, being a youth advocate, I'm like, I try to be as consistent as I possibly can with the, not only my children, but the children that I teach, because they need that, right? They lack that. Sometimes in their life, they lack in some places that consistency of structure, you know, the ability to not just listen sometimes, right? Because I tell kids, I'm like, it's easy to get there, right? Where you're calm and cool, but how easy is it to stay there? There needs to be a consistency in our parenting that needs to drive them to be more consistent.
There it is.
In their behavior.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that, you know, when we look at the totality of what we're facing right now, especially in this age, you know, we see, you know, a lot of parents that just let their kids do whatever, right? And that's a problem. Because you have this new element to life called social media. And when you got this new element, like there are kids that are 7, 8 years old that got TikToks. My daughter didn't even get her first phone until she was in the 9th grade. You know what I'm saying? And the only reason why she got a phone is because she's a girl. I know what we face in this world. Right. And she was going into high school. God forbid anything happens, she can get in contact. You know what I'm saying? But other than that, up into 8th grade, no, I'm picking you up. You know, you're going to be where I tell you to be. And that's it. Same thing with my boys. You know, Caleb will sit here and ask for a phone. He's 12, going to be 13. No, you're not getting a phone. And besides, what you need a phone for? You homeschool, brother. What you need a phone for? Who you going to call? You know what I'm saying? Ghostbusters? Nah. Like, you know what I mean? At the end of the day, You don't need that. So what I'm saying, where I'm getting at with the whole social media element, it's like we allow social media to raise our children. And we can't do that. Like we gotta, like as parents, like we gotta buckle down and again put the clamps on what they can and cannot see. Because right. The enemy is after our children at the end of the day. It's in the commercials, it's in the ads. It's all over, you know, billboards. It's everywhere. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's on another level. And when we say, or when we try to discipline our children, they're not going to listen to us. You want to know why? Because social media is raising the kids. So you know who they're going to listen to? Social media. They're going to listen to the people that they see every day that got millions of followers that don't even know them. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So you wonder why, you know, on another scale here, where why do they act out? Why do they do this or why do they do that? Because they're influenced by what they see or what mm-hmm. the parents allow them to see. And we sit there and say, oh yeah, that's just a cool show. We didn't even scan the show. How you know it's a cool show? You didn't even monitor the show. Just because it's on Netflix Kids doesn't mean that it's okay. You know what I'm saying? Just because
it's on, you can never lie.
You know what I'm saying? Come on. Like, doesn't mean it's all right.
So here's the thing, and I agree with you, right? And the reality of it is we have to do a better job overall, right? So for anybody that is listening, right? Because as we talked about, we're going to try to provide some tools, you know?
Right.
So here's a couple of suggestions. One, spend some time actually talking with your kids.
Didn't know.
Don't just parent them. Talk to them. You know what I'm saying? Get to know what their interests are and what they like. You know what I mean? My daughters, I have an understanding of why they dance. I have an understanding of why they watch certain shows that they watch. I have an understanding of why they like playing certain games, why they don't like playing certain games. I understand why they want to go to school, why they don't want to go to school. I can make some assumptions as to why a kid doesn't want to go to school, but I don't know. I may find out that the reason why my daughters don't want to go to school is because somebody may be bullying them at school, right? Or a teacher may be bullying them at school. You know, like one of my daughters has an issue with her principal because of the way the principal behaves. It ain't got nothing to do with no other students. It's the principal that's the problem.
Wow. It's right? The leadership.
And so knowing that, I then have a responsibility to, okay, now I've got to do something to engage my child in what it is and understanding, because she has to understand this is an authority figure. There are certain decisions that authority figure is going to make that you're not going to like, right? Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean that you shouldn't like that person. They're just trying to keep order. And that person is trying to deal with millions of different kids. But at the same token, there is a boundary and a threshold that person is not allowed to cross. Right. Having that conversation, my daughter is building an understanding of what that authority figure looks like and what abuse looks like.
Mm.
Right? So talk to your children. Don't just dismiss what they can or cannot understand. Talk with them, engage with them. In addition to, I think a great thing that guy said, learn about yourself in your parenting. There's no handbook on this. There's nothing that has cliff notes on this is what parenting is going to be like. So pay attention to the kind of things that happen that set you off. Because sometimes you're dealing with things that really ain't got nothing to do with your kids. You mad at your husband, your wife. You mad at your boyfriend, your girlfriend. You mad at your boss. You know what I'm saying? You mad at your mom, your sister, your brother. And then now you're trying to take it out on your kids because you can't take it out on any of one of those other people. Right. So learn your triggers and take a step back and make sure that you don't replace your aggression with somebody else, you know, or displace your aggression on somebody else on your child. Instead, realize, you know what? Mom's having a bad day today. Dad's having a bad day today. And guess what? If you actually tell your kids you're having a bad day, sometimes they try to help you to feel better.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So again, communicate with your children. Don't look at them like you're too small to handle it. Listen, my 8-year-old, she don't understand everything, but she understands when dad's not having a good day. And she does things to try to make you smile, laugh, whatever the case is. You know what I'm saying? So if she can do that, guess what? I can do the same for her. But it's a learned process. I'm trying to teach her how to communicate so that she becomes that grown woman who also knows how to communicate with her husband or her man and doesn't just shut down and go sit in a corner or take whatever it is that he has to offer, because that's not what I want for her.
There it is.
Right.
There
it is. Yeah, I mean...
Go ahead. No, go ahead, guy. Go ahead, and then I'll segue in.
No, I mean, that feeds right into they do what they see, right? Because if you show them that you know, though you teach them those things and you show them those things based on happiness, based on positivity and optimism, those things are what they take with them, right? And so although we're just talking about parenting, what's crazy to me is it starts to make me think how they will become in their adulthood, right? So if you show them aggression and you show them abuse as a kid, right? Not only do you have to worry about when they're not scared of you as the parent, right? But what happens when they go into their relationships? What do they do what do they do as the man in the relationship? What do they do as the woman in the relationship? Is it assertive aggressiveness? Is it just all out assault? You know what I mean? Is that the first, you know what I mean? Is that the first thing you think about? Hey man, listen, as a child, I saw a lot of people that quit what they started, never could finish what they start. And I'm talking about parenting, and I'm talking about marriage, and I'm talking about those types of things, right? And so in my adulthood, it becomes a problem, right? Because we do what we see. So we have to just learn to, like you said, get to know ourselves, get to know them, take some time, and just, you know, readjust and know how to adapt to effective parenting.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I want to segue a little bit, guys, where not only are, you know, this whole situation that we talked about earlier in the podcast with the father, not only is it traumatizing, you know, it brings up an alarming thing, you know, about the mental health of things, right? And I want to go here because let's think about this. During this pandemic, you know, especially when 2020 hit and into 2021, you know, there were people that were isolated. Okay. And we isolated because we had to be quarantined and things of that nature, right? Parents may have took things to another level inside those homes where there was an alarming rate and still is an alarming rate of the mental health crisis that we face, where parents didn't really know their children at all. And because they didn't know their children, they took anger out on them when they did the wrong thing or they were being insubordinate, whatever the case may be, right? Recently, I was on the news and I was asked to give a take about the mental health crisis that we are facing because many schools may have to go back into a lockdown. 4,500 schools so far in America have gone into a lockdown. Listen, me being, and I know like people that own even dance studios that may have had to shut back down. And it's a huge inconvenience for so many people, especially when your livelihood is at stake. It's like, what do we do, right? What is the best option? What's the best way? Not everybody can actually work remotely. Not everybody can keep their kids at home. Not everybody has money to send their kids or get a babysitter for their children because they have to pay bills. Listen, the banks are being unforgiving. The landlords are being unforgiving. You know, they're not at that point where, okay, they're not at the point where I'm not holding and saying that everything's okay. Like the insurance is still got to get paid. You know, the car note still got everything still costs something, right? Or you're going to lose it. So now we're at a point where, you know, that is an anger issue or an issue in itself where things can be so overwhelming for parents, right? And they may even take that frustration out on their children where that's not even the child's fault or nothing like that, right? In terms of, you know, going back into another lockdown, right? Or being held in quarantine once again. I mentioned on the news, what can parents do? What can they do to ease the situation until it passes? Now I'm torn, y'all. I'm torn between two different instances, right? I'm torn with the fact of on one side, I think it's healthy to quarantine. I think it's healthy that people do stay safe or whatever, you know what I'm saying? On the other side, I'm like, dang, but I don't want people to be isolated for too long because it can hurt them mentally. And the reason why I say that is because during the new year, and I'm going to be transparent and open with everybody here on the podcast, is when Josie and Nana were in the hospital for those 6 days, Josie couldn't leave the room at all, right? So I think my real issue isn't necessarily the quarantine part. My issue is the policy that's put in place and how, and here's why. And let me know what y'all feel on this. When you have someone that's in quarantine you know, and I'll swing this back around. When we have someone that's in quarantine, and Nana was in that state where she couldn't leave the room or anything like that, and Josie couldn't leave the room either. I get it. I understand it. You don't want her to be exposed anywhere else and stuff like that. Josie didn't have COVID. Nana did, okay? But, at you know, she's the parent. She had to stay in a room. She couldn't leave the room or go anywhere else. She couldn't even go in the hallway. She couldn't go outside. She couldn't go get some fresh air. When you're secluded in that place for so long, it can actually do something to you mentally, especially when you weren't prepared for it in the first place. You're not getting the right oxygen in your bloodstream. You're not getting, you know, you're not walking around anywhere. You're not exercising. You're not doing the daily movements that you would normally do on a regular day. Even if you are working remote, you have the luxury of going outside to get some fresh air to then go back inside to your own home and chill, right? Josie didn't have that. Now, when she came out, both Nana and Josie are going through spells of dizziness. Their bodies are weak. Their bodies are not the same. And speaking with other doctors, that's due to them being secluded in that one area, right? Versus 2020 hit, where we had to be quarantined. At least we were at home. We were able to go outside in the backyard. We were able to run around or whatever a little bit, still stay in our own place, right? Here's where I'm gonna talk to you guys. I feel that we have to come up with better solutions that keeps everyone safe, but makes sense at the same time. Because what didn't make sense to me is that you got nurses and doctors that are going in and out of the room, and they're going to whoever they're going to. Maybe they're going home and then they're coming back. You don't know where they go. You don't know where they're exposed to, but they're coming back into that room where my wife is and where Nana is and stuff like that. And of course, Nana couldn't get any sicker than what she was, but my wife could have been exposed, you know, because a nurse or doctor or tech or someone walked out. So they're allowed to go out, but my wife, you know what I'm saying? So, and I'm not trying to cause an issue with our public health system or anything like that. I just want it to make sense for us all so that my wife shouldn't wake up feeling dizzy. You know what I'm saying? My wife shouldn't wake up feeling this way. And that's alarming to me. You know what I'm saying? So what happens when so many people are put in a position against their will, you know, of course, to stay safe. But at the same time, you don't want to do it for too long. You got to give people a timeline here. I think my issue really is that there's not necessarily no full blown plan of how we're going to get through this and when we're going to get through this. Of course, we don't know when. There's no real timetable on that. But what can we do inside? What other parameters can we take so that we can make the best of the situation until this thing passes? You know what I'm saying? Because again, I don't want anybody getting sick. You know what I mean? That's the last thing I want. But at the same time, I don't want the mind to go with the sickness as well too. It's one thing to deal with a sickness. It's another thing to deal with a mind that you can't get back. Your guys' take on that?
I mean, there's a lot that's in that. You know, I'm gonna try to unpack as best I can. I think my sister, she works in the medical field, right? She works in the hospitals, and so I think the difficulty that you have is you have so many people that people are trying to make policies for to address, right? And there are those who understand what we're going through right now and are doing their part. And then there are those that really don't care what we're going through. They just don't want to be told what to do. Mm-hmm. So my sister, as a healthcare worker, has identified there are people who come in and understand we're dealing with COVID, right? Understand there's protection and health and safety and everything else like that, but will still go into a COVID ward and say, I don't want to wear a mask. You can't force me to.
Right.
Right. So now the situation then becomes, okay, so if you don't want to wear a mask, but you have COVID, you don't want to wear a mask, but you want to go out. Mm-hmm. If you go out and you infect other people because you just don't want to be responsible to do your part to take care of yourself and others, what's the rule? The rule then becomes,
I can't let you leave, because if I let you leave, you're not going to follow the policies and the protocols because you just don't want to be told what to do. Mm-hmm. Now, that may not have been Josie. That may not have been Nana, but that could have been the person next door to them. So what are they going to say? Because if they let Josie do it or they let Nana do it, the question then is going to be, well, how come you're letting them do it, but not me do it? And then you've got to figure out every individual situation. So what happens? They may kind of half behind rules that then don't consider the full gamut of what they need to deal with, right? Because mm-hmm. the reality is they're trying to deal with the emergent issue. The emergent right. issue is COVID. The emergent issue is that person who has to say goodbye to their loved one because that person got COVID and everybody thought they would be okay. Now that person is on a respirator, then they're on life support, then they got to be taken off. Those are the right. things that they're trying to avoid, you know? So how do you come up with rules that allow everyone to do what it is that they want to do and they need to do, but then also keep people safe? The truth is, we all as individuals just need to use better common sense.
Come on.
Because we're not doing it, right. that is why right. we are where we are. Because everyone right. is, let me do what I want to do. Don't tell me what I got to do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But you're not doing the things that make sense. I've heard so many parents who are frustrated that their kids have to be home. But some of those parents that I know are the same parents who are just like, why does my kid have to wear a mask to school every day?
Mm-hmm. Right.
But then there's also the individuals who my sister sees in the hospital, and they're just kind of like, do whatever it is that you need to do to save my child. But that same person doesn't want to wear a mask.
Right. Right. Listen,
I don't understand it. You know what I'm saying?
I'm at a point where, you know, listen, I don't want to wear a mask. Right. But at the same time, At this moment, like for the last couple months, I've been wearing a mask. Why? Because you not only have COVID going around, you also got the flu going around as well too.
Correct.
You know what I'm saying? So if that's the case, then listen, I hit my man up. He sent my whole family like 100 masks, kid masks. You know what I'm saying? Which are also you know, approved by the CDC and everything as well too. So, and the masks that y'all probably see on the, that the NBA players are wearing or whatever, those are the joints or whatever that he gave us, which, all right, I actually feel protected and everything in that. I don't like wearing a mask. I really don't. But is it going to kill me to wear the mask for X amount of minutes to go into a store, get what I got to get, to come out, take my mask off when I get in the car? You know what I'm saying? It's not going to kill me to do that. You know what I'm saying? Because at the same time, I'm not trying to infect my family and everything as well either. You know what I mean? I don't know what COVID can really do. Like, I mean, I know what COVID can really do, but I don't know. I may be healthy as an ox and it may not, you know, infect me as much or whatever as it would someone else. You know what I mean? But at the same time, I'm being sensitive to other people at the same time. Again, I don't want to wear a mask, but as a leader, right, you put your pride to the side for the moment for everyone else's safety because you don't know, right? If I blow, you know, out my mouth and everything and I'm blowing air, I don't see the air. I just knew that I blew the air, but I don't see the air, right? Just like this whole virus is going around, you don't necessarily see it coming. You can get sick in June. You can get sick in July or whatever. And it's not even like, you know, flu season at that time. But the fact is that you don't see it coming. So if we don't see it coming with our human eye, then I think like the real thing is that we got to be, you know, like you said, Nick, use common sense. But also, I think from a leadership standpoint, for me, this is me. Maybe this is just me personally. I feel like from a leadership standpoint, I need the parameters laid out a little bit better. You know what I'm saying? For me, like I need it laid out to where, as in, you know, I not better, but articulated to a point where people are more accepting of what we're going to go through. You know what I'm saying?
For they're example, not accepting it. That's the problem. They're not, the issue that's is people, you know what I'm saying? Like they're not accepting it.
I just think I was deliberate.
Right. I think my sister has identified, right, individuals that she's talked to, and I've witnessed it. I've witnessed individuals who, you lay out the plan for them about, yo, this is what you need to do. And they're resistant to it. And when you ask them why, it's just, I don't want to be in that place or that position. So it's almost just kind of like, well, then what do you want us to do? You want us to just let you roam free, just be free, just do what you want and hope that somebody else doesn't have to deal with the consequences of your decision. And unfortunately, yeah, when you're talking about a hospital, they can't do that. People are coming there because they're sick, trying to get better. They can't let you roam free because you just don't care. I'm sorry that Josie and Nana had to go through that, but unfortunately they went through it because the idiocy of other people. And I'm sorry if I'm offending somebody, but that's just the core of what it is.
Right.
Do your part. Don't be so resistant to the fact that somebody's telling you what to do. Guess what? You pay taxes. Somebody's telling you what to do, right? If you don't drive the speed limit and you get pulled over, somebody's telling you what to do, right? When you go shopping, you don't dictate the price. They dictate the price to you. So in this situation, if somebody's telling you wear a mask, it'll keep you safe. It'll keep the people around you safe. Do it. Do what you need to do. If they're telling you, go get tested so you know whether you have it or not. I know individuals that are sick, coughing up all types of craziness, got chest pains, everything else, the same symptoms I had, and they're saying, I'm not getting tested. Mm. You could be infecting people in your home. You could be affecting people at your job, but because you just don't want to be identified as having COVID, you're not going to go get tested. How's that helping anybody? It just doesn't make sense to me. So then, unfortunately, there are laws that come out for that person who's not doing their part. And so me, who's doing his part, has to then suffer and deal with the consequences of the rules that are made for the other person who just doesn't care and isn't doing their part. I came to that realization a year and a half ago when this first started and people were flipping out about how what they were or were not going to do. I came to the realization that we're going to be in this for a while because people would rather just do their own thing rather than doing what makes sense so that we can get out of this. It's crazy. It's unfortunate, but it's where we are.
Let me say this real quick. And Guy, I'll let you jump in on this. Let me just say this really quick. In 2015, I went to Tokyo, Japan, because I had to go out there and teach. I didn't get the memo. Everybody had on the mask but me. And I didn't, I didn't get the memo. I'm like, whoa, yo, hold up. I hit my man, why not up? I'm like, yo, Tony, how come everybody got on the mask out here? Because he traveled to Tokyo and everything a lot at that time. He's like, oh, because they be having like different diseases and stuff like that. I'm like, yo, bro, you know, you might have had a total brother or whatever. you know what I'm saying? I'm out here. So now I'm out here on extra faith right now. Like, God, just keep a brother safe and sound. Fortunately, I didn't bring nothing back home or anything like that. But over there, they've been had a jump on it. They've been wearing masks for years because of, you know, the climate that they live in, the food that they eat, different diseases and everything that's already over in that part of the world. And it's like, dang, so everybody got a mask. So when the pandemic hit, they was already prepared. Like, this is what we do on a normal basis. For America, it's not normal. Like, hold up. Like, wait a minute. This era, it's not normal. You know what I'm saying? In a hospital, it's normal. In a medical field, it's normal. But in regular society, it's not normal. Because it's not normal, people jumped into a frenzy. You know what I'm saying? So again, you may not like it, but if it's going to keep, you know, more people from getting infected, you know what I'm saying? Because you don't know anybody else's underlying issue. Listen, if it's just wearing a mask, come on. You know what I mean? Just wear the mask. You take more risk or whatever getting a tattoo. You know what I mean? Go ahead, Guy. We got a couple minutes left. Go ahead.
Man, I know. I think that the what, why, and how, when the what, why, and how is articulated on a consistent basis, right, it helps the acceptance of what needs to be done more, right? So what's happening is being discussed constantly in the media, you know, the virus and what's happening with it, why it's happening, whether there's finger pointing, whether there's blame, whatever, they're discussing the why, right? But the how we can do better, how we can do better, and what are some other ways besides wearing a mask, give other options, right? Because when you give people choices, they're more accepting of it, right? And then what stands out to me also is there needs to be a humility in us all, right? And so you talked about pride, right? There's a pride in, no, I'm not wearing it, no, I'm, and Nick talked about, no, I'm not getting tested, right? There needs to be a humility in a consciousness of not just I don't want to get sick, right? Which is the first thing a lot of us think, and I can come into that number, right? But then at the same time, I don't want them to get sick. So who are the them, right? So the first them we think of is our family, right?
Yeah. But
then the last ones we think about are others outside of our family, outside of our house, and those people we come across every day, those people we pass if we're in the hospital, those people, you know. And so there needs to be a humility and an understanding that, you know, it's not just about me. It's not just about us, meaning me and my family. It's about kind of everybody, and there needs to be a kind of a united front when it comes to supporting each other. And so humility is important, and then constant communication of the how, the what, the how, and the why, you know, we're doing these things that they set in place. And so I really think that as we come together, I think that is, I love that one of our viewers said humanity, right? Humanity is big.
That's boss lady right there. That's my old boss, Miss Aubrey and everything. Shout out to Aubrey, you know what I'm saying, out there. Yeah, sure, bro. Humanity
is big in this because it really speaks to our heart. It's a heart issue.
And I mean, going back to what you were talking about, Kenny, as far as the mental health aspect of it, I think, you know, all of us have to understand that if we get into these situations, planning for the kind of things that help us to think about what keeps us sane, right? Because if you're going to be locked up at home, if you're going to be locked up in a hospital, you know, if you have the opportunity to prepare to go to the hospital and things like that, thinking about what kind of things you can do, you know, again, with technology, the benefit of technology, right, is that you can try to stay connected with people in different ways, right? You can try to do things to keep yourself active, because sometimes what we have to do is figure out how to work within the confines of what we have, you know, and within the confines of what we have is, all right, if you're stuck in a hospital room, if you're stuck at home, you know what I mean? If you're stuck in a place where you can't go about and move about as much as you want to, try to figure out how to do things that are going to keep you active, right? That are going to keep you energetic. You know, is it that you love music? Is it that you love talking to particular individuals in your family? You know, even some of the things that you're talking about, Kenny, yeah, it's hard if you can't get out and get the oxygen that you need. You know, what do you do? That's hard. That's tough. I don't know. I wish we did have an answer for that. You know what I'm saying? I would be interested to deal with the people at the hospital that they were at. Like, yo, are you telling me there was nothing that could have been done? You know what I mean? To give them some level of reprieve or whatever the case is, you know? Right. But, you know, those are some things that I think definitely people need to figure out. But I just think for ourselves, to keep ourselves in a healthy mental space as best as we can, you know, we got to try to figure out what kind of things help us. And again, it goes back to what God was talking about before. We have to know ourselves. You know, this COVID period is teach us to learn more about ourselves and the people around us, you know, and if we do that and not shy away from that, we can then understand the things that bring us down, that hurt us, you know, and help and then figure out how do we, you know, move within that so that we can be better, you know, so that we can be okay. And then we don't end up in a horrible psychological state, because we don't want to save our health, but then destroy our mind either, you know.
So, absolutely. 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 Thank you so much, Aubrey, for that. Listen, we can keep going on and on and on and everything with this, man. Like, this is an awesome conversation. We may have to do a part two and everything on it, but we all got kids and everything we got to get to. You know what I'm saying? We got families to take care of. But listen, at the end of the day, again, Nick, I think you hit it on the head there. We all got to do our part. At the end of the day, we all got to do our part. We all, you know, and to God's point, we got to have humility. And this is all about, you know, the safety for our humanity at the end of the day. You know what I'm saying? So I want everybody to if you leave with anything, you know, leave with this. The life that you live is not necessarily for you. The life that you live, you're leaving a legacy for others to follow, right? I believe that every person has a form of leadership inside them. But you have to take into account, it's not all about you. And it never really was at the end of the day. We're here to serve. We're here to build something that can, you know, help others, you know, in the next life, in the next level, right? So I want everybody to understand that and move forward with that. And never really, you know, look at it like about me. What about, you know, what do you need? What can I do for you? How about I serve you today, you know, and look at it from that aspect. And let's start living beyond measure, you know, in that way. All right. So with that being said, everybody, listen, I love you all. Nick had to go. He will check y'all out and everything next week as well, too. Next week, we will be back next Thursday. We will be back in the building. All right, 8:30 Eastern Standard Time. Listen, tell a friend. Share with your mommy, your daddy, your uncle, your auntie, your grandma, your grandpa, abuela, abuelo. Share with everybody that needs to hear this message. I think this is an awesome conversation that people need to listen to, need to share, need to talk about as well moving forward. All right. With that being said, guys, listen, make sure that you guys go ahead and subscribe to the channel if you haven't done so. Go ahead and give this a like. It drives up the algorithm and everything as well, too. If you're listening to this on Spotify, if you're listening to this on Anchor, listen, go ahead and comment and subscribe to our Spotify and everything as well, too, to the Anchor app. We are also on Google Podcasts and Apple Podcasts, anywhere that you can hear a podcast. If you're watching us on Facebook, go ahead and give us a like, give us a share and everything as well, too, all right? With that being said, everyone, remember, when we change the mind, we change the game. A2D, shout out to my A2D family. I miss you guys. I will talk to y'all soon. Guy, listen, bro. Love you, dog. Let's highlight each other.
You too, man. Listen, I just want to leave you with one last thing, man. Everybody be ready to receive, because this right here, we ready to give. So we coming to give.
That's right. And coming up, really quick announcement. Coming up, guys, couple of things. Number one, I am nominated as the Leukemia Lymphoma Society Man of the Year. All right, so there's going to be a campaign that is going to start this March in about 8 weeks or so, 8 or 9 weeks or so. There's going to be a campaign that's going to start where we're going to be raising money for leukemia and lymphoma, and I need you guys to join my team because I really want to win. I'm competitive, y'all. I'm competitive, and I want to win. I want to be able to raise the most money out of all the other competitors, okay? So I'm gonna need my A2D family. I'm gonna need Guy. I'm gonna need all the students and everything at where you work at. I'm gonna need everybody. I'm gonna need the whole KTA fam is going down. All right, everybody that watches us. All right, I'm gonna need y'all. Next thing we have coming up, we have Miss Ty Bayou, champ, who's going to be joining us. We're going to be talking about women in leadership. Her podcast is going to be coming up with us live on January 27th. So you do not want to miss them. It's Ty Bayou Champ. If you have not heard of her, please go check her out in what she has to offer. Go check her out on Instagram. Go check her out, you know, on all social media platforms. Again, Ty Bayou Champ will be here January 27th. And then we also have the former owner of the Sixers that is going to be coming up, Mr. Pat Croce, who's going to be here for a special event. The first week in February, I believe he will be here. So I'll double check and make sure I announce that for you guys as well, too. All right. So that being said, y'all, we'll check y'all out later. We'll see y'all. Remember, when we change the mind, we change the game. Check y'all later. Peace.
We living out the good life, yeah. I ain't got to worry about a thing.
Oh, no.
Had some obstacles I overcame. You don't have to ever be the same.
Oh, Lord.
Cause when we change the mind, we change the game.